Welcome to Future Horizons, the Tempest podcast. I'm your host, Sevi Watmo.
Tempest, the UK's next generation combat aircraft, demands a radically different approach. Team Tempest will need to deliver a future combat air programme at a faster pace than has ever been attempted before. To do that, they need to collaborate with the best minds in the defence aerospace industry, the military, academia, and small and medium enterprises. They're sharing specialist skills and knowledge to accelerate the development of a future combat air system. A crucial part of this vital network is the supply chain, with each company playing a vital role in the development of Tempest. In this episode, we'll take a closer look at the development of the Combat Air Demonstrator, one of two aircraft that will be trialling and testing the technologies needed for Tempest before the next generation of fighter jets take to the skies in 2035. I'm joined now by Paul Wild, Head of Tempest and Combat Vehicles, BAE Systems, Jonathan Brewitt, Head of Procurement for Future Combat Air Systems, BAE Systems, and Jane Murby, Head of Marketing at Oxley Group. Paul, coming to you first, you studied at experimental aerodynamics at the University of Manchester, so you're a brilliant person to give us an orientation of the Combat Air Demonstrator. Certainly, it's one of the most eagerly anticipated technology demonstration projects running in Team Tempest, and it's the first time that the UK has produced a demonstrator of this kind for 40 years. Why is it hugely significant, not just for Tempest, but for our country?
It's such a fantastic opportunity, and it's such a complex, once-in-a-generation activity to undertake that, unsurprisingly, it's been a generation since we've done it. And with that brings a huge amount of challenge, but also opportunity. So if we just think back to 1983, 1986, when EAP, the precursor to Typhoon, flew, the world was just a different place. Mobile phones, computers, all of the ways in which we design and develop aircraft were significantly different then as they are now. Even just think the last 20 years, the evolution that there's been in that type of technology space. It's the first time, not only in a generation, that we'll be developing a new combat air demonstrator and aircraft, it's also the first time using 21st century tools and techniques. And that's both really exciting and really challenging, but it's really critical that we rebrigade the community, the enterprise across the UK, not just within BAE Systems, of actually training people to be able to develop and design an aircraft of this scale and complexity is something that is in itself a huge challenge. So all of that kind of brings together just why and just how important it is that we do this activity in order to de-risk the Tempest as we move forwards.
And, you know, even so, the last one was in the 80s, and we have very advanced technology now to come up with what it's going to look like. Just how challenging is it to take it from the screen into the real world?
It's one of the most... there's two angles of that I'll cover, actually. We as an organisation, and we as an enterprise, really, haven't done a blank sheet paper design of an aircraft in a long time. And actually, it's a different skill. So people making modifications to an aircraft rather than developing an aircraft from scratch, they are different skills. So imagine you having to create a painting from scratch versus try and edit a sketch. It's a different activity that you've got to go and go through. So one of the big things that you have to do with an aircraft program of this scale is it also requires a scale of people, a scale of a team and organisation, both within our businesses and within the supply chain and partners that we work with. It's a huge activity to go and take that requirement that you've got to go and develop, turn that into a design, first of all, that looks like it should work, and then actually go through all those processes to turn that into something that can actually fly and will actually fly in UK airspace, that is a regulated airspace. And these are all real-world challenges. One of the big differences that I've seen with the progression of the program as we've moved forwards is just actually that that experience that the team are having to develop and are becoming very kind of proficient at, of solving real-world problems. you can't just decide to go, well, I'll fix that later. If a problem happens, no matter how small, you've got to make sure that that pilot, when they get in that aircraft, it will be safe. And they are all real skills that the team has to relearn and harness and hone as we move forward. And actually, it's one of the really important training regimes almost that we're on to get ready for the Tempest program at large, because it will be really, really important, the lessons that the team have had to go through, using all the new technologies, using all the new capabilities, the digital thread, as we call it, in terms of how you take that design, that concept, and really take it all the way through the supply chain until you start to build and test the aircraft at the other end.
Jonathan, as Paul's saying, a real-world challenge is going to need an expansive real-world team to bring it to reality. And it's clear that the demonstrator programme will require a lot of collaboration to ensure its success. Can you just share details of the breadth of companies involved in Team Tempest and the ways in all the different areas that they're going to enrich the programme with their expertise?
Yes, yeah, certainly. It's fair to say the supply chain is a huge vital asset that needs to be engaged, primed, and keeping that develop, grow, maintain mentality with the supply chain is absolutely key as we go through and take it from just our enterprise level and then taking that whole activity in the whole supply chain. And the depth and breadth of the supply chain is absolutely key as well when we look at diversity of richness and thought across that, as we look across the supply chain. And if I look at that from a partnership level, we'll start with MBDA, Rolls-Royce and Leonardo. We share a lot of experience, learning from experience as well. Knowledge from basic aspects of whether it's contracting, security and cyber aspects that's passed through to ourselves. And we have to make sure that supply chain can enact that as well, because the environment, as Paul said, the environment is very challenging to work in. We also have things like communities of practice, where we actually share not just with the supply chain within the core partners, we look at then the wider supply chain early careers that are coming through and wishing to learn and understand how to work with the supply chain, even how they're starting in their own careers. So we've definitely been working through from that from a partnership level. We then sort of go into the sort of UK innovation side of things, and we're looking at small, medium enterprises that we've got actively working with and academia. Again, it gives that richness and diversity of thought and also want to do things faster. And pushing those boundaries of where we can actually develop technologies within that supply chain. And that's a key area to focus on as well, especially as we are looking at doing things half the cost and half the time. We need to bring that digital thread, as Paul's just mentioned, through the supply chain. And we also need to bring some other areas where we're developing, as I mentioned before, early careers as well. So we've done a lot of activities with STEM as well through our supply chain and working with a number of different strategic partners or supply chain organisations. So we try to develop as much as we can through, and the demonstrator programme has been key to working with all those aspects and that depth and breadth of the supply chain, and it does really bring that richness into what we are wanting to do in developing technology.
And you provide coaching at a grassroots level through an organisation called Be The Business that supports small businesses across the UK. And when you are side by side with these companies who are feeding into Team Tempest, can you share some of the most impressive areas of expertise that you're seeing that they're bringing?
I think it probably seems about diversity of thought, I think, is one thing. They're absolutely keen to say, how can they bring their technology along with where we can be quite robust in how we want our requirements, and we may think we know all the answers. And as Paul said as well, we don't have all the answers. And I think having that engagement with the supply chain, it definitely brings in just a different way of looking at things. Contracting, it's a really dull subject, but in some of the respect in how we manage contracts, we've also tried to look at how we can do things differently. And that feedback from the supply chain, when I've done a number of presentations to probably small, medium enterprise and academia, they want to see how they can remove sort of what their barriers or their feel perceived barriers. And some of their ways of looking at things and how to do things different from a contracting perspective just helps as well, works together and develops that supply chain as an asset. And being collaborative, I think, is some of the areas where you're seeing some openness about how they can not just work with directly with us. It could be they're looking at future as well, where there could be other partnerships developing in other parts of the future combat air system. So having that other foresight, how they want to get involved in the future, is just really, it's just encouraging when you see that from that view from the supply chain.
Jane, Oxley is one of the many SMEs across the UK that's now working to develop the demonstrator. Can you describe Oxley's involvement with the Combat Air Demonstrator programme in more detail and the impact that you've seen firsthand that this has had on jobs and skills?
So Oxley is a defence manufacturer based in Cumbria. We've got 200 people in the business, and we're working on the LED lighting on the Combat Air Demonstrator. We've been based in Cumbria for 80 years, totally rooted in our community. And going back to the 70s and the 80s, we were working on the designs for Typhoon. And that was the aircraft of a generation. And I think what's really exciting for us now and for our communities is this is now the aircraft for the next generation. And it's really exciting for us to be able to go out and to talk to young people about the opportunity. So we also do a lot of STEM outreach work with young people from primary school age right through to college age, and a lot of careers activity. And we're talking to all of these young people about how exciting this project is, about the legacy, and about the fact that if they come on board and get involved in working on a programme like this, in 10 and 20 years when that aircraft is flying over our building, they can look up in the sky and say that they were part of delivering that. And so it's really exciting for us to be able to sell that prospect to young people. We've got a massive skills shortage in Cumbria, and this is a real opportunity for us to retain people in the local area and to give them an opportunity to come and join and be part of it. So it's helping us to recruit young designers. We've just taken on 9 apprentices and 3 graduates. So it's helping us to build our future pipeline. We now have 10% of our workforce is now an apprentice, which is, you know, really positive for us for the future. And the other thing that I think it gives us for the longer term is kudos. You know, it gives us an opportunity to sell our wares around the world. We're a big exporter. We operate in 34 countries around the world. Having a programme like this on our CV opens up doors and opportunities. And the technology that we're developing as part of this demonstrator and part of this programme will open up new opportunities in different markets for us in the future, and will help to really grow the UK capability and the manufacturing that we're doing is all based and rooted in our community in Cumbria.
And in the past, Jane, you've been recognised by the manufacturer as one of the UK's top 100 most influential people in the category of driver of cultural change. How challenging is it to get people to think in a global way? They're coming in the door, they're acquiring new skills. Do you find that they're adopting that global mindset quite readily? Or do you feel that there's work to be done to give that sense of expansive confidence that's going to be needed to get you up where you belong?
So, as I say, Oxley operates globally. We very much try to instill into our team that big thinking. When our founder, Freddie Oxley, founded the business, he had 3 values. One was around innovation. And when Freddie died in the 80s, he had hundreds of patents in his name for inventions. One was around self-sufficiency and one was around family values. And they're still part of the business. And we very much focus on strategic thinking, innovation and communication. And I think it's all about communication. And that's been one of the real benefits for us of working on this programme, because the communication has been so open.
Absolutely, because open communication is a cultural asset that can really maximise the efficiency of the workforce, but also the creativity. Paul, can you, looking at Oxley as an example, can you describe just how this programme is going to be a catapult to drive forward the economy regionally and nationally?
I think it's a really, that communication piece that Jane was just talking about is a really pertinent part of this. And hopefully it feels the same to you as it does to me in terms of just how closely we have worked together. And we continue to do that with Oxley and with a number of other suppliers and partners all the way across the UK. Interestingly, we've done a number of supplier events since the announcement of in 2023 of the programme, where we've got these suppliers and partners, brought them onto sides and shown them more than we would historically have done so. And it's brilliant to see. It really, really is. So actually, where you've got people that have been in this industry, some for 5 years and some for 40 years, but actually when people that have been here for 40 years have said that it was the best day of their career, when they actually come and see how they fit into the broader programme and how their little bit of the machine works and where that fits, it's fantastic to see. And that allows them to then go back into their organisations, be that an organisation of 30 people or an organisation of thousands of people, and share the importance of this work and how it's all fitting together. Because it really, really is important. We've got such a broad spread where we're trying not only to work with different people and different organisations, but also to work differently with them. So the way in which we are working far more collaboratively than historic is brilliant to see. We're sharing more, both in terms of comms, but also in terms of data and problem solving. So actually, if one of our partners, the suppliers, is in a better position to fix something or to do something than someone else, then we'll move that work scope around on this programme so that the best athlete is doing the job that we need them to do. Because this is a national endeavour. It's not a BAE Systems one. It's not just a Team Tempest one. It is about actually how do we as a nation do something that we've not done in such a long period of time.
Jonathan, Paul has shared there some of the techniques that have been used to make sure that Tempest achieves the rate of transformation that it has to achieve to do things smarter and faster. How do you see up close the SMEs taking on the challenge of the demonstrator programme from this point of view?
I think some of the two key areas, again, building on some similar sort of wording, is how we do core working, core creation with the SMEs. We're involved in anything from gaming through to automotive environments, and some SMEs have got some credible experience in there. And if we core work with them in how to do the work, if we do then say core create and say, right, let's share how we can jointly do the requirement, they feel they're part of something, and actively part of something, and I think that speaks volume as well. And everybody likes to be part of something as well. We get a lot of SMEs coming into the business and wanting to do work either for the demonstrator program, and sometimes the opportunities are not there. So again, you've got to have that balanced view and say, right, what can you bring? What diversity of thought can you bring? And then how can you make you part of something? If it isn't, there's still going to be plenty of opportunities going forward. And like Paul said, if we have to move the situation around to develop what that requirement, what it is, and build that opportunity, there is definitely a number of challenges in the programme for us to move that around in SMEs, academia, the adjacent markets that we're working through. And we are sort of pioneering our sort of through partnerships. And those partnerships have to be capital P's. It can be the little P's in this respect, as in, we are working together collaboratively to find an output, and that good old phrase that Corvey has, you know, that's the end in mind that we're trying to get to.
Jane, you know, it sounds like really embracing diversity of thought is a key dimension of this programme. What have you seen that's been different on this programme to all the others before, and how do you think we can inspire more people to get involved in this national endeavour?
So I think two areas that we've seen that have been really sort of unique and different. One is around the collaborative approach, you know, and I think that we genuinely do feel that's the case. And the opportunity for early engagement. So when we have the opportunity to introduce technology and introduce innovation and help to define requirements, we can bring new thinking. So it's not just the requirements come out as a tender and something like LED lighting is bolted on as an afterthought. Being part of the discussion from the beginning means we can introduce new technology and new ways of thinking. And that delivers an optimised solution. You know, it really does work for us. There's been a lot of flexibility in that process, which has been a real benefit as well. And the other area is, as I mentioned earlier, about communication. The opportunity to get involved, to come on site, to be part of briefings. We've even had the offer of a team coming to our site to brief our workforce, and we've never done that before. And I think that's a really exciting opportunity for our team to be able to hear directly what's happening on the programme. And I think that the public briefings and what's happening across the industry is just really galvanising support and making everybody want to be part of the endeavour.
Yeah, those briefings are really important in terms of crystallising in people's mind what this is going to look like, what it's going to feel like. And I guess I'd like to end by asking all of you how you think you're going to feel when we reach the exciting day when the first flight to the demonstrator is scheduled and it takes to the skies for the first time. Jane, staying with you, how do you think you'll reflect on that moment?
Oh, just huge pride, you know, real pride to be part of it. And, you know, I hope that it'll be something that we can broadcast to our whole workforce and have it as a day of celebration.
Jonathan, how about you?
Yeah, I had those same words, actually, pride. And it's that privilege of being part of that journey. And people use that, is it journey? But it does feel like a journey that we're going through. Everything from what Paul and James just mentioned and throughout the whole supply chain. You know, and again, I'll bring back in COVID. It's that end in mind. You think you're going to be there on a runway, and you're going to see that fly and the benefit it's going to bring to actually, you know, the industry as a national endeavour and just a kind of a one-off experience that some people have been part of. It just will resonate a lot to whoever's seeing that final product flying.
Paul, when you see that flying overhead, how's it going to make you feel?
I hope I recognise just how important a moment it will be in the programme. They'll be building on what Jane and Jonathan said of pride is an obvious description, just how kind of humble it will be as well, and a relief in many ways. Of it is a hugely difficult job that we've all got to do, but it will be such an incredible moment that I don't think it will really sink in until probably, hopefully, a few years, but maybe many years later, actually, of just what we'll have helped enable. Because it will be such a moment of hopefully national pride, actually, of our ability, collective ability, of what we'll have done. Because as an old colleague used to say, we all fly on the same day. And actually, it's really, really important that we all recognise that of the Oxleys, all the other partners, suppliers, team members that have been part of this job. Everybody will have got us to that point. It's not about one or two people at all. It was a huge team effort to get there.
Paul, Jane and Jonathan, thank you very much for speaking today.
Join us again for the next episode of Future Horizons, the Tempest podcast.